Yes, if you're ready, we will call a meeting to order. It's February 19th, and this is the Hess Committee. It's 3:04, and we have a quorum here of Representative Dyson, Green, myself, Bundy, and Porter. And on today's calendar, we have a presentation by the Alaska Native Health Board. They're on teleconference, and this will take about 15 minutes. That will be followed by an update from the Alaska Public Health Improvement Plan, and Dr. Nakamura is with us here. Then we'll go on to House Bill 300, 148, the foundation formula, and House Bill 350, the insurance coverage bill. So with that, if we could tap into the teleconference. Hello, this is Representative Bundy.
Thank you.
Hello out there in the ether. Hello, this is Representative Bundy. Do we have anybody on teleconference? I'm going to have to have him speak up a little bit. Oh, I'll keep my hands off this one.
I think you screwed the one up in judiciary yesterday, too.
Don't know nothing about machinery.
The CIPCA has one person here.
Yes, we're trying to contact the Alaska Native Health Board. We do not.
All right, we'll try finding something from this end, but the 800 number is not working.
Okay, thank you. We will stand at ease for a few minutes.
Is this the day of...
If we can, 13 minutes after 3.
I have them on right now, and they are in a meeting as we speak. Do you want to patch through?
Well, are they expecting to speak with us? Okay, well, let's do that then. Hi, this is Con Bundy and Juno. This is a note in a bottle.
Hi, Representative Bundy. Hey. You're coming through okay. You've joined the Alaska Health Board meeting.
All right, thank you. As we're convening here in Juneau, we have with us Representative Dyson, Green, myself, Representative Porter, and Representative Kemplin. And
did we lose them?
Okay, and
it's
Larry Reinhoff, Chairman of Alaska Native Health Board, and here in Anchor, sitting at our table, we have Paul Cherry, Salvi Smith, Don Castanero, both. Evan Hobson, Jr., Cynthia Navarretti, and Nicholas Morgan. And we'll give you the people that we have listed on our teleconference that we have going already.
We can just say our own name. I'm Shirley Demento, Tan the Chiefs of Derbings.
Margaret Roberts,
Kodiak
Area Native Association.
Lincoln Bean,
sir. Bob Sinyaki, South Central Foundation.
Adeline Hoffman, Northwest Borough.
Lucille Jones, Manila. Manila and Nilchik, you crawled over each other. Say your names.
And Cheryl Michelle Manila.
Henry Hunter, YKC.
Day 7
at
Glutna Village.
Jeff Hunter.
Did I believe that's everybody from Alaska the adult board today. Representative Bundy, did you want to just go ahead with a presentation?
If you would, please, yes.
All right. My name is Paul Sherry. I'm acting president and CEO here at ANHB, and we want to express our regret that we weren't able to meet with you in person today. We tried to get 40 people to Juneau in the last 2 days and managed to get about 7 down there with the fog delays, and so we changed our meeting to a teleconference. But we appreciate your making time on the agenda this afternoon, and we'll try to make this a brief presentation and leave some time for you to talk with the board members about the issues involved. I assume that you received copies of our legislative priorities booklet? Mm-hmm.
Yes, we have those.
All right. We won't spend a lot of time reviewing that section by section, but we would like to highlight basically our legislative concerns, and I guess we need to make a very brief presentation and have the committee ask any questions and let any of the board members here add on to the discussion to the extent they want and time allows. We basically boiled down our legislative priority concerns this year to these three areas that are presented. I'm not sure if the governor has formally released the sanitation action plan yet. I knew he was intending to this week unveil it to the public and the legislature, but we have reviewed the final version of that and want to give the legislature our strong support for the initiative that it outlined. We've identified in our package, there are a raft of recommendations in that action plan. Some of them are multiple years in scope, and there are simply several that we feel should be given priority attention, and that is basically to maintain the ongoing support for the remote maintenance workers, rural utility business advisors, PCE, revenue sharing, and municipal assistance programs. All of those activities that the state currently provides are critical to maintaining the system. We hope that the legislature will be able to continue to put out a $20 to $25 million capital package on this issue. And finally, we think the legislature should give close consideration to the governor's bond initiative on sanitation facilities. I'm just going to move right ahead because time is limited. Our second priority area is endorsing the governor's Smart Start proposal. We've talked extensively with the department about it. Basically, we realize that the legislature is considering using this opportunity for the increased federal support to work towards using these funds towards meeting the budget deficit. We would like your long and hard consideration of that because we feel that most, if not all, of the governor's initiatives meet the same needs that the Native community identifies as priority for child protection and children's health services. We would actually challenge the governor to increase the investment beyond the $32 million up to a $40 million level. We're trying to provide a little counterweight to the proposals here. There are some specific recommendations that I call your attention to for the village-related services that are outlined. Finally, substance abuse remains a priority concern to ANHB. We have carefully reviewed a number of the bills that are up before the legislature this session. They're all spoken to in here. We support extending the alcohol safety action program to minors. We would like to see the treatment of mental health services by insurance companies that treat it the same as other medical conditions. And two, that we want to give some specific attention to recommending that HB 192 and the substance abuse counselor licensing be deferred. The Native community is very willing to work towards bringing forward a counselor licensing bill, but the current version of it creates a lot of risk for our program, and we feel that one more interim sessions review of this bill will give it time to be structured appropriately for the rural and Native program. Finally, we're concerned about entailment abuse. Our board sees a tremendous gap in the response by the state. And the Indian Health Service, for that matter, to the inhalant abuse problem in Alaska. We are encouraged that the Mental Health Trust Authority appears ready to finance a treatment program here in the state. And we want you to be aware of that and to work with the Trust Authority to see that come to fruition. One of our member organizations, Yukon Custom Health Corporation, is developing a proposal for that, and we hope that that this can be afforded. I'd like to add one final item that didn't make the packet. We're supporting the passage of HB 132, the local municipal taxation on alcohol. We gave our endorsement to that last year, and it continues. So that really covers the packet. Open the floor to comments from the committee members and other comments from our membership here.
Go ahead, please. Okay, yeah, I had a question. As I understand it, in the comments on the governor's Smart Start, and you folks are recommending that an additional $10 million, or maybe it's only 7 or 8, but it was about a $40 million total be spent. And, of course, for us here in the legislature, the question comes, where do we find that money, particularly in facing declining oil prices now, and that gives us several options, none of them very good. We can take money from some other program, we can ask people to pay taxes, or we can ask them to allow us to spend the earnings of the permanent fund or to reduce their permanent fund. Do you have any recommendations to acquire this money? I was kind of thinking of village water and sewer myself. Okay, I understand it's a bargaining position. Thank you. Are there further questions? I don't see questions at this point. I would like to thank you, those of you in Anchorage and around the state, for being with us today on teleconference and sharing your perspective on the health needs in particularly rural Alaska. It is helpful that you remind us of those, because we all live in different places and are captive of our own experiences. So again, with our thanks for your participation today, and we too are sorry that the airplanes thwarted your ability to be here. We always appreciate a chance to talk face to face and find that more useful. But this is a best we can do for now, and so we were pleased that you were able to join us. And
thank you very much. We too are pleased that we have an opportunity to discuss with you. Hopefully, in the near future, many or some of us will be able to come to Juneau, at which point we would hopefully, especially to have a meeting with various members to articulate in person all positions as well.
All right, thank you. And before we close the hearing on the Alaska Native Health Board, we do have Bob Foote here in Juneau who wanted to make some comments. Mr. Foote, welcome.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
If you would identify yourself for the record and your affiliation.
I'm Robert Foote from the city of Uniloquate, and with the Governor's Council on Rural Sanitation. I was with Governor Hickel when he helped him. I helped him form with Commissioner John Sandor and the group, and I've been working with the governors and the commissioners ever since. I've been involved in this for quite a number of years, long before the sanitation come to the front. I've worked in every way that I can to improve the sanitation in the villages. I've worked in the villages, 13 different villages, and about 7 years of experience here, hands-on experience, nuts and bolts and dirty messes. So I have a first-hand experience on the needs of the communities. I live in Uniloquate, and Uniloquate has the best sewer and water system in rural Alaska. We are up to date and all the point there. So I know the good and the bad and the neat and the ugly. So I am here to support, and I understood one reason I'm here is to make a presentation to the governor of our program that we've worked on all these years. It's a very good program. There's been a few times in here that I've been rather discouraged. But now it's come to the front, and since last October, things have cleared up, and we've got a good program to present to the governor. So I'm supporting the program that we have done. Now there's a point here of funding this program, and how is it going to be funded? There's many different ways that this can be funded. My statement to the council, many different times, is why should we put in these sanitary systems in the communities without the proper funding to maintain them? Because it's a waste of money and time and hope and the people's disappointment if it doesn't work. Was to keep it in a simple manner, as easy to build and as easy to maintain, but effective to carry through so that it would be maintained and could be. I have worked in the villages, and I've taken and trained the people to work and maintain those systems, and that's the best way that I see to maintain them, because it's their program. A force account program with good engineering and good procedures for overseeing, and then the workforce can be done in the communities with proper supervision. The main thing is to train the people, the local people, as to how this can be done and maintained for as long as you want. And so I've had very good success in the villages that I've worked in, and some of those people are continuing on doing as was planned a long time ago. I have seen other villages and been in other villages that have a system put in where the 600 feet of permafrost, the system is put in, and if it freezes up an hour and a half, they'll have it thawed out and operating again. I could see no point in that system that was put in. The village is no attack, about 60 miles out of Kotzebue, 600 feet of permafrost there. That's a lot of permafrost. But they put the system in, and I feel that it'll be easy to maintain, easy to keep up, and the cost of that system that's put in is very economical, and the people can afford to maintain it and pay their bills. The sensible is if they can't pay their bills, the thing will fail. If they can't maintain it, the thing will fail. So you see, they put in a system that will work, that the people can afford to operate, and so there'll be less chance of failure. I'm against failure, and I've seen failure in the villages. But it takes a lot of dedication, dedicated people, dedication all the way through to maintain those systems and keep them going. I feel that it can be done because I've seen it, and I know that we can do it in Union Creek, they can do it. The toughest part of all of the sanitation is down on the Yukon and the Kuskokwim deltas in the lower section. I don't have an answer to those, but in the permafrost it's a lot easier than working out there on the delta where it floods and where there's very difficult to get rid of the refuse and very difficult to get the clean and safe water. So I'm here to support this program, to make sure that it's funded. There's lots of different means of funding this. And the funding that I have seen, and I can support, there might be others. I think there are others that could be very supportable. And one was the House Bill 279. And that it would answer and maintain and fund these systems. Another, that could be organized and run through so that it would take care of the power cost equalization, which is a vital part of our rural sanitation program. Because if we don't have that PCE program, a means of economic electricity, then we have to maintain those. There's a lot of support systems on here. The educational system, the training that can be done, that should be done. And my recommendation to the council has been to take high school graduates and train them from out of high school into the Palmer Job Training Corps, and that is a good place to do it. We have the expertise, we have the ability, and why not use it here in the state of Alaska? And we also have the money, and why not use that? I don't care where it comes from, but it should be maintained. We need this in the villages. Another thing, too, a few years back, 1994, maybe it was 93. I lose a little bit of track here, but that's all right. But anyway, I got permission from Commissioner Sandor to send out petitions to the villages and get the people to support the program of sanitizing their villages. Out of that, and I sent out 105 to 105 villages. Out of that, we got 7,735 and more. I know we had that amount, I know, but there was more coming after that. And it's very difficult for me to answer those 7,000 people of why they don't have sanitation today or tomorrow and some means of this coming on. This program here that we have put together for the governor, Governor Knowles, is a step in that direction. And I think it should be should keep on walking and keeping on those steps and keeping on going.
Well, we thank you for sharing your thoughts with us. I'm going to have to go on to the next presentation.
Thank you very much for the time to get. It's not halfway through, but that's all right. Well, there's another time and another place.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
We will go on now to an update from Public Health Improvement Plan. We will now disconnect from the Native Health Board and go on to teleconference on our next presentation. So, Dr. Nakamura, for the record, please.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Dr. Nakamura, Peter Nakamura, and I'm the Director of the Division of Public Health for the state of Alaska, and I've been fortunate to be in that position for about 7 years now. The subject I'd like to share with you is probably one of the more important things I've been involved with in the past 7 years. And I thank the chairman for his very active participation in this project, as well as several other members of the legislature. If I may, I'd like to share just a couple experiences, personal experiences, so we can lead into this issue, so we can understand what this whole effort and what this whole issue is about. In my earlier career, before I came to Alaska in 1969, I did have the opportunity to work in a number of developing countries. One of the projects that impressed me most that I had the opportunity to spend some time with was in a place called Solo, Indonesia. They had an infant mortality rate at that time of about 155 per 1,000. To give you some perspective, in this country, it's less than 8. So 155 is pretty significant. Through this project, they were able to drop infant mortality from 155 down to 45 in a year and a half, an amazing and major accomplishment. They did it through some of the processes that we label as public health, the public health process. A quick description of how it happens. It starts off with a community that is concerned about some of their health problems. It starts off with someone with some knowledge about health interventions. In this case, it happened to be a good friend of mine, a Dr. Gunawan Nugroho, who had spent 17 years in that community operating a hospital and a whole healthcare facility, and not no time was he ever making any progress on this figure of 155 per 1,000 infant mortality. So he quit practicing medicine, and he got together a team of a nurse, a social worker, an agriculturalist, and a social worker, And what they did was they walked into this community, or a part of the community, where they had someone who was interested and concerned, and said, "How well do you know your community?" Well, the natural response is, "We know our community. Of course we know it. We've lived here all of our life." Well, to really describe it is another challenge. So they took a simple piece of white paper and put it up on the wall and drew the community out. They showed where the rivers and the ponds and the churches and the people lived. They then said, "If this is your community, what do you know about the health issues here?" Well, again, it's hard describing what the health problems are. So they put a little cross up there for 155 crosses showing where those 155 kids died in that community that year. It really began to make some meaning to the people at this point, because that was their kid, or it was their relative, or it was their neighborhood. Once they had enough information to raise the level of concern, then it was, why are they dying? Well, there are many reasons that they died, but one of the reasons they died was dengue fever, a disease transmitted or carried by a mosquito that lives only in cups of water or in pools and in puddles within the bamboo stalks or in overturned tires around the homes. Well, once they knew that, they're able to clean this up. They got rid of those bamboo stalks. They got rid of those old tires. They cleaned up the can. There are many other issues in there, too. They were hungry. So they said, well, what can we do about our hunger? Well, they used our agriculturalist, who said, well, if we build some chicken coops over this pond, and the chicken coops then defecate into the water, raise the nutritional content of that water, the grass will grow. We'll put some Chinese carp in that water. They'll then eat the grass, and you'll have another source of food. They did this with a number of things. They brought in two seasoned Thai rice. I said, health is a real issue, and we're not going to provide you medical care at this time. Let's go out and see what you know about your kids. So they had a simple little thing called a Morley's Road to Good Health. It was a growth chart. Just showed each child how they should grow in terms of weight and height. And they made one of these available for every kid that they visited. Matro is important. They use paper with linen content and color on it so that it just would not crumble. They put it into a Ziploc bag so that it would have some sense of protection. And each time they encountered the family, anyone in the health system would ask, how is your kid? And out would come the card. And we see the immunizations. We see how they're growing. And if they weren't growing, it was, this is why your child is not growing. Or if it's growing, great, you're doing the right thing. So simple little tools like that, working with different kinds of foods. They brought some goats into the community. Said, all right, the first family who raised, takes care of this goat gets to have the first kid. So they raised the goats, and they passed them around in the community. And pretty soon they had a herd of goats in the community. Their kids were not getting educated. So they said, well, we can't afford to send our kids out to school. But they put together a simpan pinjong, which is a pot in which all the community members contributed. From that, they sent their kids to school. And when the kids came back and earned an income, they again contributed to the pot. Wonderful. But things like that brought the mortality down from 155 to 45 in a year and a half, something which is miraculous. In contrast to that, when I came here in 1969, I went to Bethel, Alaska for 2 years. And I had probably the greatest time in my life. The reason being is I was trained as a doctor, and I love pathology. I'd love to see sick kids. I'd love to see them come in clinic with their ears draining. I'd love to see diarrheal diseases that I could treat. I'd love to see all those other problems that were really quite common. But my focus was, let's take care of that kid, send him out, and that's it. I wasn't worried that they were coming back in over and over and over again, because my focus was in clinical medicine. Well, I think we've grown a bit since then, and we have a program which is well entrenched in public health in this state. But when I got here in 1991, and I looked around to see what the state had in the way of public health services, it was very hard to explain why we had, what we had, how much we had, and what effect it was having. And the reason being is that the health system in this state has grown in a rather haphazard manner. It's done a great job. I must admit it's done a wonderful job with the resources. But if we have a program, sometimes it's because there was a crisis. Too much TB, too much diarrhea, too many accidents. And we're able to get some resources to address that one issue through prevention, promotion, health protection issues, public health-related activities. If there's money out there, if the Fed said, we're going to have this program, here's some money here, use it, we used it, and we created a program based on what they said we could use it for. And then if people in power decided they had a special area of interest, they then managed to support us to get their special interest met. When I came here again in 91, I looked around for the health arm of environmental health. There are two things. Environmental health is great, clean water, clean air and all. But if it's not really keeping people healthy, or if people raise concerns about these issues, if there's no one there to explain whether it's right or wrong, we got a problem. We had a problem. We had not $1 in the state committed within the health department to address these kinds of issues. We've partnered a bit, and we've created some of those issues. When we got here in 91, we didn't even have a medical examiner system that would say, would give us the information and let us know whether we're dealing with a crime or a public health problem or whether what the issues were. Well, we created those because we developed enough interest within our policymakers to support us. They allowed us to develop legislation. They didn't give us the funding, unfortunately, but we did it anyway. And we have probably one of the greatest medical examiner systems available for the size of the state that we have and for the amount of money that we have. So I guess the message is that public health probably is one of the more important, is the most important thing in this state that is going to have the long-term impacts that says you're going to live longer, you're going to live healthier, your kids are going to live, have a lower level of infant mortality, you're going to be a healthier state. Well, our problem now is that that we identified is that since we're a young state, we've grown haphazardly. There's a need now to develop a firm base for public health in the state. We need to know, first off, what kind of services and systems are out there, not only the state, but in the private community. We need to know what the tribal corporations are able to provide or are providing. If you get bitten in some of our communities by a dog, I can tell you that you better look for some help, because in a lot of these communities, there won't be anyone there to respond. If you cut that dog's head out and get it to us, we'll tell you whether that dog is rabies. We'll tell you, we'll get the vaccines for you, and we'll give you some advice. But at that community level, you just very well may have to chase that dog down yourself, because there may not be anyone there. But we don't know that until the dog bites. So what this whole public health planning process is intended to do is to give us the information in the state that says, this is what your health system is, here's how much have you got, and based on the information we have now on where we are in terms of a health status, here's what the outcome will be if you either invest in the system or don't invest in the system. It's the kind of information that let policymakers make the right kind of decision based on the right kind of information. That is a public health improvement process that we've launched on. It's a very intensive process that's going to involve individuals throughout the state, not only in the health system, but we put together a steering committee of approximately 35 people now. They're heads of the university. They're from the municipal league. They represent the medical association. They represent the education system, from all walks of life, to make sure when we go through this process, we're not going to leave out those things that are important to them. We're making sure that there are some communities partnering with us in this process so that it's not a top-down information system developing process. It's one in which the communities will make sure that their needs and issues are being addressed. They'll know what they got, what they don't have, and what they need. We've been fortunate in getting a Robert Wood Johnson grant for about $300,000 to help us at the state level to begin to put this process together. We're going to have it done in less than 2 years. We have a Kellogg Foundation partnership that's supporting three communities. They're the communities of Fairbanks, Kenai, and Sitka, so that at the community level, there's a parallel process going on, again, to make sure that we're getting information at the community level. The selection of those three communities happened through a process that we did not control at the state level. We asked which ones of you communities feel that it's important that you'd like to participate, and 33 communities in the state came forward and gave us a proposal. It was the Johnson Foundation and Kellogg Foundation that went through the screening of these communities and selected three that they decided to support. But we're going to work in partnership with them. I guess the main reason for wanting to share this with you is to let you know that there is this process going on. It is critical for this state, but to get there and to make sure that we get the right product, we want people with power, we want people with influence, we want people with knowledge participating with us. We know that you all have the power to develop legislation. You all have the power to destroy a good thing if you don't have the right information, and sometimes even with the right information. But it's critical that we have you all continuing to partner with us through this process, and this is why we want to share this information. I have online in Kenai, I believe, Deb Erickson. To get to this point that we have to go to, it was critical for us to find probably one of the most competent people around that would commit the time and energies to make sure we got to an endpoint. I found that individual who was already working within my division. Name is Ms. Deb Erickson, who's just done a great job in getting us ahead. We're already at that point where we're doing assessment of the systems that are available in the state. We're beginning to gather the data that's available, and so we're moving right along in this process. We're also going to provide, hopefully, a tool for you as policymakers and legislators to do the right thing. We have access to probably one of the most competent experts in public health law, who is at Georgetown University, and we are going to have him come in and work with us through this process to make sure that we're able to pick the best parts of public health law out of other states, make sure that applies to this state. But he will be available through this whole process to guide us, so that when we come out of this, hopefully we'll be able to affect the public health legislation in the state in a way that's the most appropriate.
Well, we appreciate the update so far. I understand it is a two-year process. At what point would you like to come back and give us another briefing so that we can stay with you through the process?
Can I have some time to work on it? I hate to give you a time and find out it doesn't fit well with our process.
Would we need an update again before we finish session, or would
We'd love to give you another update before the session is over. The rate of this process moving, although it's a two-year process, the amount of energy putting into it will be quite a ways along the way. We did have a number of handouts. I believe each of you got a handout, which is a quick summary of what the process is, a time guideline. There are a number in the back of the room for others who might have some level of interest. They're available.
Thank you much. And we don't have any questions at this time, but you're very wise to keep us up to speed as you go along.
Sure, and I hope you and others in the legislature will hang in there with us.
Okay. Thank you, Doctor.
All right, that brings us to House Bill 300.
We will take a pause